Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 49 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. I wrote about this American artist, Eris Moore, for the first time in 2009. 2009! That was the year I started the blog, and she was one of the first people that quote-unquote made me jealous. We struck up a very nice internet relationship, and we've done a few things together over the years, including a show in San Francisco, and she's actually been in both Creative Block and my second book, Collage. You probably know what's coming next. I've never spoken to her before. Yep, this is becoming a pattern. Good thing I started this podcast. It's like a hermit emerging into the light. Anyway, her work has evolved so much in the last 7 years, and I'm excited to find out how. Especially considering that she's a full-time teacher and the mother of twins. Ready? Here we go. Calling New Hampshire.
And I got in.
Hang on. I'm not recording.
Are you kidding?
I didn't record any of that.
Oh. Well, we can do it all again.
I think I bumped it and turned it off.
It's all good. We're awesome. I mean, we already did great, but we can do it again.
Oh, brother. Oh, you know what? I wonder if I have a chunk of it. I might have a chunk of it, but let's see.
You want to check real quick? You can check.
Oh, I got the first minute and 48 seconds. So dumb.
No,
okay, let's start again. Oh, it was okay. Such a good talk. Oh, well.
It's okay.
We'll just start again.
Okay.
Okay. We'll kind of cover all of that again.
All right. Sounds good.
Ish. Oh, I'm going to probably just keep this in and be like, I'm an idiot and I didn't hit record. You guys just messed such a good conversation. And that's the episode. Thanks for joining me in, everybody.
It was really great.
It was so good. I learned so much. Sorry, everybody.
We were really funny. We were great. We were spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Funny, insightful,
yes.
Super smart, major breakthroughs.
Major. Mm-hmm. Aha moments all over the place.
Well, and everybody.
It would have changed their lives.
It would have changed their lives.
For sure. No doubt.
Oh, man. Okay, so let's quickly cover our awesome conversation. So we were saying, I wrote about you years and years ago when I first started the blog, and we are finally talking, and I love your voice. I don't know what I thought your voice would sound like.
Well, I was really scared to do this, and I'm not a phone person either. But yeah, this feels totally normal to talk to you. I really like it.
I know, me too. And I said to my husband a while ago, and you know, putting the list together for who I was going to call. And I was like, oh, I really want to have her. But I said, I have a feeling she's not down with the phone.
Especially since I can't handle the computer very well.
Well,
I mean,
just
technology skills, even like when submitting things, you know, for the books, like I was like, can I just like handwrite this?
You did, didn't you? Didn't you handwrite the titles of the pieces?
I actually think I did.
Yeah, I think you did too.
Very hard time. Like I have been turned away from so many things artistically just because I'm like, wait, how many pixels by how many, like what? Like DPI what? Like how do I do this?
I know.
And it's just like, if I don't know it, I don't want to do it, which is so, you know, not. I've learned. I've gotten better.
I am exactly the same way. I do not like learning new stuff, which is terrible. And then as soon as I learn it, I'm so happy that I did. And then the next thing comes along and I'm like, oh, I don't want to learn that.
Yeah, I don't learn that. I don't want to learn it. And then eventually it feels really good to learn it.
I know. Why can't I learn that?
Exactly. It would really be helpful.
Oh, brother. Anyway, and so, yes, I was saying we kind of discovered each other around the same time. And I have to say this again so that I can put it in the post that you were the first artist that ever sent me a piece of work.
Mm.
And I cried when I got it. I loved it so much. I couldn't believe I had an original piece of yours.
Oh,
it's
well,
still
I was so
out.
Excited
it's on display.
To send it to you.
Oh, I love it so much. And yeah, we've done so much stuff together and you're in both of the books, which I'm so happy about. I didn't know if you'd do the collage book.
Really?
Yeah.
I struggled with that one, I must say.
Did you?
I did. I was just at a point. I was just struggling a little bit. I have a lot of images of that, you know, that image done in so many different ways, you know.
Of my dad, of the cowboy and the
accordion. Yes, cowboy. Yes. I lived with that image for a very long time, and I don't know why. I was just like, I think at a point where I didn't have a ton of confidence, you know, yeah, those happen
yeah,
a
yeah.
lot. And, I have some sketchbooks filled. I found one the other day that I did of that image. I should send you those
I want to see
for
them.
Funny, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Well, I just, because I thought in creative block you'd be comfortable, but then because drawing is your jam. But
yes.
on your blog, there's quite a bit of collage, and I'm a collage artist, so I was like, ooh, what is she doing now? And I loved all that stuff, so it was right when I was putting collage together. And so I asked you to be in that too, and I kind of thought you'd say, well, that's just my experimental stuff. No. And I'm so glad that you did. I love the piece that you did. I loved everything that got put into that book. And yeah, I'm so glad you did it anyway and figured out pixels and...
Well, thanks. I mean, it's funny, the whole collage thing. When I was in grad school, I had a professor that was like, I don't want you to make your people anymore.
Oh, I remember this.
And he's like, you know, I just want you to collage. I want you to take, you know, pictures from the newspaper or from popular culture, because everybody thought I was so removed from it. And I don't want you to make your people. I want you to have to use these people, these found people to make things happen and to collage.
And what did you think?
Well, I did it, and I was really proud of myself, but I, like, erased their faces and changed the shape of their heads. And he's like, that's not quite what I meant. You actually made these your people. But collage is funny. I really like it. And when I'm on, I'm on. But when I'm not, I feel like I'm making such a mess. And it's so hard sometimes to, when you become attached to a small piece, to, like, glue it down.
Yeah, glue day sucks. Yeah, glue day scares me.
Yeah, gluing is just, I don't think I'm ever confident enough just to be like, yep, uh-huh, there, yes, this works, you know, and shipping them off. I think collage for me is like, it's sort of this investigative, you know, part of my process that I think could be the finish, but I just haven't gotten there yet, you know. Huh. I love cutting things up and assembling them, but a lot of times I find I take a photograph of two things that I've put together, and then I'll draw from it, you know, so.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
It's interesting. Yeah, I was looking at some photographs I had the other day, and I was like, oh, I really like that. But if I drew it, I wouldn't like it as much, you know. And I think you mentioning the collage and me starting to think about that, I was like, wow, I kind of need to, like, get messy again. And I've gotten really comfortable just carrying my sketchbook around and drawing on a smaller scale and, like, you know, going to Barnes & Noble and sitting with I have this, like, leather bag that I keep all my pencils in, and I take it all out. I must look like, I don't know, crazy. But I just set up shop wherever, and it's super easy, and I'm really grateful that I don't paint, you know,
yeah.
Like, I can just do this. And I do the same thing at work, at school. I draw with my students. But collage is like a whole nother sort of, you know, I would have to have a whole nother bag.
That's it. You'd have to have a bag full, like, of glue.
Or like a Filoflex, you know, with, like, all, like, sort of, like, different people and backgrounds and things.
And then the Barnes & Noble security would come over, ma'am.
Yes, or I would just lose myself and start cutting up books.
Yeah.
You know,
could you imagine? Look at all the pictures in this book.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Well, I think you should keep going with it, because I think there's, especially, like, the ones that you did in the book, I love that they're a combination of your drawing and collage. So when you... First of all, I remember you telling me that the guys had stopped doing your people, which I thought was insane, actually. And then, so do you feel like, because I know your MFA was so much work and you really immersed yourself in it, do you feel like the things that they pushed you to do helped or hindered or combo?
I think they really helped. To be honest, like, I, you know, it was really tough and pretty painful, and it was an interesting time in my life. I was getting divorced. A lot of things were going on in my family, and it's just sort of, you know, felt like, truthfully, like I was becoming a woman at, like, I don't know, 30, however old I was, 30, 30, too late to just becoming a woman, but I was. And so I think the combination of just really great conversations, some really amazing mentors and professors that did say things like, you're overpopulating the world, you know, with these people. And then early on, like, oh, these would be great in, you know, Pottery Barn or Crate and Barrel. You know, some of those comments that I think I might have needed it, you know, and I had, I think it was the same professor. He was actually really great. The one that told me to do collage also said, I want you to write a paper about scary things that scare you, like work that scares you. I want you to go out and find work that makes you uncomfortable. Because I think a lot of them, sort of said, I suspect there's a menace here, or there's something going on that you're not really sort of addressing or getting at, you know. And like, I mean, originally I wouldn't put hair on my people, I still call them my people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like afraid of their vanity and like, I wanted them to all be very anonymous. And then in grad school, they just started coming out and I started to identify them. And then this sort of cast of minor characters just kept growing and growing. And, I don't know, something happened. Like what I always wanted to feel like I was sort of in the thick of something that was mine.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened. It just,
yeah, you
just
can
clicked.
See it. You can see it. I would always check back in. I would just pop on your blog every now and then just to see what you were doing. And it was very cool to watch from afar because it was this weird evolution from odd cute,
yeah,
to odd scary to odd you, I think. Like,
yeah, I think that's actually a really good description.
Did that even make sense?
It totally made sense to me. I mean, I don't know if it was anybody else, but it really makes sense to me. And I think another thing was just like the confidence of, like, I don't know, all the things that, like, when I was in grad school, a gallery approached me because they saw my work on The Jealous Curator. Oh. So I think things like that, like, you know, the promotions that you had given me, you know, gave me confidence. Being part of things, having people, you know, ask to buy my work, or, you know, just coming out of sort of that little room that I used to work in, just gave me so much confidence. Even the things that, you know, that happened that weren't so kind, things that people said that, you know, really hurt me, there were so many that were so good. You know, mm-hmm. Just have people respond to something you're doing is such a gift.
Yeah.
I didn't think anybody would, you know, you don't assume anybody would care, you know, like, or be excited by it. Or
yeah, and just that little bit of feedback to let you know you're going in the right direction. I mean, you know, there's the whole, you shouldn't care what other people think, but like, we're human and you do. But just that little bit of feedback, you know, is such a great gift. And actually that was one of the cool conversations we had when I wasn't actually recording was about negative comments. And one of the really big negative comments was on my site.
Yes.
Back,
so painful.
Back when you were doing Odd Cute, that was before your MFA.
Yes,
that was the first post, I think.
It was. Yes. Yeah. It was the first time in, I think, yeah. And I was so, it was, actually, I think it might have been the second post because I had been in Frankie Magazine.
Oh, okay.
Which was so crazy. I mean, that was like so amazing. And you did that. You did all of that. And then, yeah, to have the horrible sort of response and saying that I was copying Camilla Engman. And it was just really painful. And I told you, like, when we weren't recording, that I drew this image of one of my characters just with this huge bag filled with all of the other characters that I had sort of been, you know, and just walking off. I really felt devastated and like, I mean, it was kind of ridiculous because I had had a lot of good, but this one person had so much power. And I think, you know, it's something that we should remember because
yeah.
We really do have the ability to, really, really cause pain to somebody we don't even know. And
yeah, and like I was saying when I wasn't recording, that person might have just been having a bad day. And very often if people leave nasty comments, I will write them directly or comment back. And they'll often write and say, oh, gosh, so sorry. You know, I'm going through a divorce, or I hadn't had coffee yet, or crazy things. And it's like, well, then why go get coffee? Like, why?
Yes.
Why on earth say
add
something?
Extra sugar?
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, something. Get a muffin. Like, your yeah. blood sugar might be low. And
right.
Why they don't understand the impact that can have on somebody. And I mean, sure, there's some days where you can, those things roll off your back too. And there's some days where you're going through a divorce or, you know, whatever, where God, it just hits you in the heart, you know. And people need to realize that when they leave those comments, they're talking about human beings who are, chances are, going to read that comment.
Right.
And I always just think there's no point in those things. Like, you know, there's just no point. People can have differing opinions. That's fine. But to say something purposely cruel, I just don't get it. And I felt terrible.
It's such a sensitive thing to do, to put your work out there. And, you know, it's like we were saying, like, everything you make, it's like the first time you've made it. You've never made it before. So you're putting out something new and something that you're not sure of. you know?
Yeah, it's so personal. Like you're exposed. I always just feel like you're just exposing your heart to the world and hoping that they do the best with it. And that's why for the longest time, I never showed my work anywhere. I did lots of it, but it just sat on my shelves. And I would sometimes Instagram like a corner of something, but I would never Instagram the whole thing. And so when I was writing my new book, there's a whole chapter about sharing where I'm telling you guys how to share. And I was like, oh my God, what a hypocrite. And so over Christmas, I was like, right, I'm actually going to take a full picture of the finished thing and with a shaky, scared finger hit publish, you know?
And it felt so good, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was still scary and I still, you know, I get lots of really nice comments. I get the odd rude comment, but like in more than anything else, I'm just proud of myself that I hit upload, you know, because that's been a huge hurdle for me. And it is the fear of putting yourself out there. And, but you have to, otherwise you're just a weird lady drawing at Barnes & Noble.
Absolutely. I know. And well, and the thing is with blogging is that kind of prompts you to do that. You know, you feel like you have to keep going and then you get a couple followers and you kind of want to keep going. And then you make something and you're like, oh, maybe I want to share this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is. It's a nice little snowball effect.
It really is. Yeah. It was definitely a good way for me to start out and to get comfortable and just share and you know what? And take myself seriously. You know, I had gone to art school when I was younger and then, you know, I had twins and I became a mom and I didn't really know where the space was for me to make work when I was a mom. And I would draw in sketchbooks, fill them, and my kids would draw with me in them. And I've had a hard time taking myself seriously, but I wanted so much. And, you know, and I felt guilty, of course. And then I think just, you know, finally applying to grad school, starting the blog, getting comfortable enough and confident enough to apply to grad school, I started to take myself seriously. And I felt like I deserved maybe time to do it, or not even that I deserved it, but that it was okay, that I needed it. And it was something that was okay to do, as frivolous as it may seem.
I'm so glad that you did it. It's just such a, I've thought about it a lot too, just to have like concentrated time to really think about it, you know, to really think about your work and where you want it to go and all of that stuff, you know?
It's huge. I've started this thing recently. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, called Morning Pages.
Mm-hmm. I have books and books of Morning Pages.
Good for you. See, that doesn't surprise me. And it's like this way to connect to yourself like right away.
Yeah.
You know, pre-ego coming out before you look at yourself in the mirror, before you think, you know, about your day completely. Like, it's just a really nice way to connect, just writing those three pages every morning. And I think drawing does that for me too. Like, I think it just brings me in. It just brings me into the inside world of what's going on. And then putting it back out, it comes out of me, you know? So it's like a cleaning, like I'm just like cleaning house a little bit, you know? I don't know. It's just necessary and fun and horrible and all of those things.
That doesn't surprise me at all, actually. Cause when something that you said in Creative Block was that, about that you really, one of the things you like about drawing is just the aloneness of it. And that even if you're in the room with your twins and the TV's on and whatever, if you're drawing, you kind of go into this little alone place.
It's true. I mean, I have to be careful when I'm teaching because I'll draw with my students. So I've gotten better at like talking and really being part of things, you know.
Because I'm drawing right now.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't help you with yours. But I'll sit down at a table. I mean, it's wonderful. And I'll draw with them. We'll have conversations. And, I feel like I really get to know them. And they're just comfortable working. I'm not peering over their shoulder. Just sort of, you know, engaging them in experience. You know, just giving them materials. And, I'm not that teacher that's like, here's paper. Go express yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there are some goals. And they do really amazing work. And there's a little discipline in there, too. And, you know, they're definitely learning. But it's just nice to share that time. And like I'm drawing too. And I think you asked.
It's cool if your teacher knows how to do what they're showing you to do.
Right. You like, I'm not the coach that's on the sidelines, like run.
Yeah. And I'm fat.
I'm
like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm panting along with them, you know?
Yeah. Well, see, now we skipped over all that. We didn't even actually get to that in the part that I didn't record, but, so you went to art school, you got mono.
Yes.
And then, so, thankfully. And now you're a teacher.
Well, I went to state school. Then right. I got mono. Then I started developing when I was, I think it was off for a semester, I started developing my portfolio. Then I got the nerve to apply to art school for undergrad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And you did a BFA.
I did a BFA. Concentration in painting.
What?
And I was like totally into minimalism. Like Agnes Martin like rocked my world. She still does. But it was all about lines. I used to take the, you know what you use for a joint compound to join like if you're putting two pieces of sheetrock together, there's this tape with a grid that holds them together and then you plaster over it.
Yeah, I've never put two pieces of sheetrock together.
Well, I've helped with that. I don't know how, but there's this tape that's like a plastic grid, and I would do these ticking lines like right across the surface of these. They were just painted, but I was drawing on them. I would paint the surface. I would make this surface that was like almost like icing cake. That's how I used paint.
Wow.
And I loved like, you know, just really subtle colors of like, you know, sort of like, I thought of it as like aged light, you know, and
oh,
I
that mean, is deep.
Special at the time. And I was listening to Nina Simone and, but I would make these ticking lines on them. And I realized that actually I was just kind of creating surfaces to draw on.
Yeah.
You know, was what I was doing. I never was a painter.
Why didn't you major in drawing?
I don't even think it was like possible at the time. I think drawing still wasn't really considered. I think it was still sort of part of illustration, you know, like,
oh, right.
I don't know. And even like figurative work, like I secretly drew all these like naked ladies that would dance, you know, in my sketchbooks and I drew these people, long before, you know, I mean, I've always drawn people, but in art school, I felt like, you know, to be serious was to be non-objective and, you know, like, which is weird, you know, and I had good experiences, but I don't think that I made quite the connections that I could have, you know.
I wish you'd had drawing. And so did you end up ever doing drawings over top of those surfaces you created?
Never people though. I was obsessed with chairs and I would do these crazy drawings. I don't know if people would know that they were chairs or not. They definitely were figurative. Hmm. In some, you know, in some sort of abstract way. But I actually helped co-taught or assisted in a summer class. And the teacher was this Armenian guy who was just like all about the feelings. And he had this beautiful voice and he looked like Bono and he wore like a cowboy hat. He was really something. And he didn't want me to help him. He just wanted me to draw. And I sat and drew. And this was when I was doing my undergrad. It was in the summer. And all these people just came out, you know, it's just charcoal on paper and newsprint over and over. I had like a huge stack by the end of the summer.
Did they look like your people?
They're they were still emotive. Yeah, they were really like, you know, not as developed, but definitely the starting point, you know, or a continuation from my childhood through, you know, that was real. And he looked at my minimalist work and he was like, yeah, in these lines are all those people. If you get really close and you magnify these lines, all those people are in there, you know? And it was funny because that was actually a really good point, you know? And I wasn't brave enough at that point. Like I just thought, oh, this is just something I do. This is just something sort of, I, you know, let out every so often and it's, you know, I indulge in it, but it's not serious, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it, you know, there was something there for sure.
That's so funny. And so when you finished that, did you go right into education or how did you make that jump?
I went straight into education and I really did not like it at first. I was like devastated. I used to write in my lesson plan book, I wish I was home. I wish I was home. I wish I was home. I want to be with my cat. I want to be with my cat. Like I just really did not. I felt like I was pretending to be an adult, pretending to be a teacher. I was wearing linen pinafores. I didn't know how to transition from art school to being a public school teacher. So it was just, it was funny. And then I grew to love it. But I remember all of my professors or a couple of them saying, you know, don't go into teaching. You're never going to pursue your art career. And, yeah. And I was afraid of that, but I didn't stop wanting it. You know, I definitely, it wasn't enough for me just to teach and that wasn't going to satisfy me. And so doing both is really nice. It gets me out there. You know, being with kids every day is both exhausting and life is so good that way. You know, it's so unexpected. There's such good energy that I, you know, I come home, my boyfriend's always like, you have so much energy. And I think it's them. It's like their life force. There's just so much.
What
like,
grade do you teach?
I teach seventh and eighth graders.
Oh my God. That's like hormone surging.
It is. And it's such an awesome time. Like I thought, I remember when I first started went into teaching, I was like, oh, I will take a job in elementary school and I will take a job in high school, but I am never going back to middle school. Cause I mean, who wants to, frankly? It was like a horrible time, like the hardest time ever. And now I would never leave, you know?
Oh my gosh.
It's really fun.
I love it. I was going to say, I teach a three-day course every spring. It's coming up again in a couple of weeks. I cannot wait. And it's this huge theater festival for the whole province, for British Columbia. And I think kids have to apply. And then about, I think 300 or 400 kids come to this thing.
Oh, wow.
And it's a Shakespeare festival, but they do music and art and theater and whatever. And it's so much fun because they're the weirdos.
Right.
Like in their schools, they're the weirdos. But then they all come together and they're all so cool together.
It's awesome. It's like in the Blind Melon video when the little bee girl walks into the field and all the other bees are there.
That's exactly like it. And so the first year, my old drama teacher, because I've just moved back to my old hometown, and my drama teacher, who was my favorite teacher, is still here. She's retired, but she has been doing this festival for years. And so we reconnected, and then she phones me out of the blue one day, Danielle, why didn't you tell me about this jealous curator thing and this book of yours? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't really talk about it around here very much. And she said, well, you need to come and do the keynote at the Shake Fest.
Oh,
and it was like
great.
2 days later or something. And so I was like, okay. And I didn't understand. I thought it was just something for my old high school, which is a really small high school, right? This, like, we're in a town of 10,000. So I was like, you know, the high school is like 600 kids and grade 11, 12 is only like, you know, 200 of them. So I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll come. Well, I get there. It's this whole giant thing. And they're trying to get my slides to work and the slides won't work.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. So I said, okay, guys, we're winging it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. And it ended up amazing. And you were so real.
And so I did my story and I tell this story everywhere I go. And I talked about my bad crit that I had in university and that the prof told me you should never paint again. And yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And usually when I tell that story, that's the reaction I get like from grownups is like, ooh, you can kind of hear an audible like, oh,
yeah.
Well, this crowd of 400 kids was like, boo, we hate that guy. Boo.
Oh, that's great.
And you got like, you get goosebumps. Like they were so into it. And then I'm like, yeah, but then this good thing happened. And they're like, yeah, cheering. And then by the end, I guess they learn this chant while they're there. And they start, at the end, they start chanting, oh, I feel so good. Oh, oh, I feel so good. And they're like,
oh
doing this.
God,
and awesome. So I said to Mrs. Bevan, I'm like, can I come back tomorrow and do it again? Like, it was the most amazing crowd I have ever like worked with. And so the next year I went back and just taught like a 3 day course. I didn't do the keynote, but I just did the 3 day thing. At the end of it, I was so tired, but so invigorated. I completely know what you mean.
Such good energy, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
so,
they're just.
I know. I'm doing it again this year, and it falls on my birthday.
Oh.
And so Mrs. Bevan's like, oh man,
she's
like, get ready for the best birthday celebration you've ever had. And they all have capes, and like, they're, you know, they're just creative and
those
kids, and they are so much fun. So anyway, I completely get why
you feel
like
that. It's great to be yourself around kids too. I love, like, you know, being in middle school again, and like, you know, I play ukulele and we sing, and you know, and I'm just totally, you know, who I am, and they're fine with that. And I think, you know, it's, they're just a little bit more of who they are, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just really, I don't remember being as great as they are when I was in middle school. I feel like I was trying to fly under the radar and, you know, get the next, you know, thing that was in style. And maybe they're doing that too, but they just seem so authentic, so much more real.
Well, maybe that's when they're in your classroom, though. Like, if you're being authentic and real and playing a ukulele and drawing along with them, like, they're going to be able to relax and be that who they are too.
Yeah, that's a, well, you know, hopefully it helps a little bit.
Yeah. Do they see your work?
They do.
What do they think?
They're like, wow, Miss Moore, like, you know, you're so fun. And these are really creepy. And
why is her face all squished into one corner of her head?
Exactly. Or they'll be like, did you just don't understand, like, you don't know how to draw chins. Like, I want to be like, yeah, I missed that section of of art school where they taught us how to draw. And so my head's just melt into the shoulders. But they think it's, you know, like, they really wonder, like, oh, could you draw something, you know, could you draw a real person? Or, but they're definitely interested in, like, I let them follow me on Instagram. And they're so great, you know, they're always commenting. And I think it's become a little bit more normal to them. And it's so funny, there's two secretaries that work in the office. And I've been working there since I was basically fresh out of college, 20, 22 or 23.
Yeah.
And they're always like checking out my work. And they're like, oh my, how do people buy these ugly people? Like, really? No. Like, they, you know, and they're just so cute. And they're so real, you know, and they're like, really, somebody wants to hang that on their wall? Like, we love you, Eris. But my goodness, this is just really something, you know, or they'll tell me if like, there's a milder one that they really like, you know.
But oh my God, that's so funny.
It's really quite fun.
Well, so. That's actually a good segue into, can you draw tunes? No.
that was great.
Into, you are so, so, so good at drawing faces. And I actually did your creative block, your unblocking project from the book.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And it was really hard. I took photos of me when I was little, my mom when she was a teenager, and my grandmother in her 20s, and I went into Photoshop and erased all of our faces and then printed it out and then tried to do self-portraits of me.
Oh, I saw this. I know this.
Yeah, it was so
bad. It was really good. No, I love that.
Oh, they were
so... Are you kidding? You took it to a whole new level.
I was trying to be you, and I was like, oh, eyes are really hard to draw.
No, but I remember that. What was I saying? Oh, really? You did it? I know you did it. I saw that.
I think I put it on Instagram, and then I took it down. I took it down. I took it down. Yeah.
You silly girl.
I know. But because compared to you, like, oh God. But so when you do your faces, are they just random, or are you thinking of somebody? Or are they your eyes? Like where do the features come from?
So sometimes they will be like parts of me or from a photograph of like, you know, a relative, like my mother or my father. They'll reference people that I know, parts of them. Or, you know,
yeah, like will you mix it? Like the eyes will be from somebody, the nose will be from somebody else.
Yeah. And it's not so much that I'm thinking of necessarily that person, but the quality of it. Like my mom's smile, like she showed a lot of her gums, you know, and I always think actually mouths are interesting anyway, because my family was really loud, very mouthy, and like all emotions came from mouth. And I'm just kind of obsessed with mouths. And I think that's, you know, maybe where it comes from. And so all, you know, a lot of gummy smiles come about, and they feel connected to me, to something.
Right.
But it's, you know, but I'm constantly like inventing people. Like I just draw them now. Like I, you know, sometimes I don't even reference anybody. They just sort of are there, you know,
yeah.
Like overpopulating the world with them. But,
well, I love it when you do, like when you have, I guess they're technically collage because you have like photographic hair and like the, you know, photographic shell in a way.
Right.
And then there's that one series. I think that's what's in collage maybe. And it's, and you just draw a different face.
Right. I cut the faces out.
Yeah.
My students saw me cutting faces out. Like I do a lot of cutting faces out, and they're like, that is so mean. Like, oh my gosh, it's more. But yeah, so I took the faces out and then drew, yeah, different possibilities inside of it. And one, I even had my son and daughter like drew faces too.
I posted about that.
Yes, yes, you did.
Did they see the post?
They did.
What did they think?
So cool. I mean, and you did the one where I drew with August and she drew all the hair, the crazy hair.
Yeah.
Way back when. No, they love that.
How old are they now?
They're 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 11 in June.
Oh, okay. Charlie turns 10 in July.
Isn't it a fun age?
Yeah, it's so funny. Well, and I only have one.
Yeah.
And so that's another question. How are you a teacher? You have twins. You've finished your MFA. You're newly divorced. You're still drawing. Like, when does that happen? Like, do you sleep?
Well, not enough, apparently. But
and you have a boyfriend, I heard, got thrown
in
there. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I draw like just everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it's just so integrated as like a daily part, just a part of my daily life that I don't, I don't think about it. I don't do it as much as I want to. And I feel like lately I have, I'm really not making work for a gallery anymore. Like, you know, I never was making it for a gallery, but I was thinking of shows and like, that's not my gig. My gallery let me go. And
why?
Just sort of changing. They let it, you know, reconfiguring what they're going to focus on.
And, would I mean, you want to be in another gallery, or was that not really your thing?
I don't know. Maybe in a different, maybe not New York. Maybe I just felt, I don't know. I don't think it was quite me. I really like people looking at my work and commenting on Instagram means a little bit more than them, you know, paying $2,000 for a drawing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't, it just felt a little bit removed, and I never really felt like I was that New York artist. I love New York. I love being there. I love looking at work. And, I like making small work. I don't like trying to make it monumental. I don't like thinking about it being framed, you know, and the sort of technical parts of it beforehand. And there's something, I don't know, it became a little bit of a pressure, you know, to sort of.
I think it takes that creative freedom away a little bit.
I think I was trying to be something that I didn't really believe I was, you know, so it wasn't a good feeling. So now I'm just like, you know, lost in my sketchbooks. I've started a graphic novel. I'm obsessed with graphic novels right now.
Oh my gosh.
And I think I want to like publish something.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's possible. I don't know. You've done an amazing job at that.
That was all accidents though. Like I didn't even set out to do any of that.
Isn't it beautiful though?
It is kind of nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would be amazing.
I would like to do that. Well, I honestly just like this week started my first graphic novel. I've thought about it for a long time, and it's, you know, it's a pretty personal one, and I don't know if I'll share it or not, but it's super fun.
Like it's making just my heartbeat a little bit faster, to tell you the truth.
Well, me too.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about it, and I'm excited. And
Esther Pearl Watson?
No.
Look her up. She's an artist illustrator in LA. She found a diary of a 15-year-old girl in a gas station bathroom.
Oh, wow.
On Route 66 somewhere, I think. Or like they were on some like desert highway. And she took it and she's turned it into a graphic novel. But she didn't want to out this girl. And so she's changed a lot of the stories to be personal stories. Through the eyes of this girl. Yeah. And there it's really weird, and like you probably find it quite hilarious.
I'm gonna check that out. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and it might be a really interesting thing just for you to look at. And because it is, I think what I love so much about it is they are personal stories and they are uncomfortable.
Yes.
But relatable. And
totally
I could
relatable.
Totally see yours being the same way, you know, just like a bit uncomfortable for you and probably for the reader, but authentic.
Yeah. And I'm excited with the aspect just of, you know, I don't know, my work's very ambiguous and I, you know, rarely put text with it. And when I have, I've been really nervous. So to have to sort of, I'm not locking them in, but to reveal a little bit of what I'm thinking about them as I'm making them and who they are, you know, to me, it's like a really scary thing to do and super, it just feels really good too. It feels really good to like put it down. It's almost like gluing that piece in the collage, you know, okay. You know, I can do this. It's something I'm excited about. I'm excited to read them. I'm excited to be drawing. And the other thing I've been obsessed with is cutting sketchbook pages in half and then just making, you know, all sorts of different, the possibilities of them. I don't know if you've seen them, but so the sketchbook will be cut down the center and the heads, you know, like maybe it'll be eyes and nose and hair, and then the bottom will be mouth and you know, their body. And then you can rotate them through, you know what I mean?
Kid's
book, you know?
Yeah.
And the coolest things happen. And I guess that's kind of collage too, actually, when I think of it.
Yes.
But I know, huh? But who knew? But they're really amazing things happen, and I don't find them just playful. I feel like, you know, some things are happening that are cool, and it's loosening me up. And I mean, talk about creative block. If anybody wants to do this, there's never a blank page, just the one you start with, and then from then on, you always have something to go on.
I love
you know what
that.
I mean? Because you have the head, so you're going to draw the body, and then you have a body, so you can draw the head, and it's, you know, the fear of the blank page gone.
I love that.
And then the element of surprise. I don't think I've done probably, I don't know, because I'm crazy and obsessive, like 6 books now, and I don't think I've seen all the possibilities in all of them, you know? So that's kind of fun too.
That's so fun. And so is this the kind of stuff that you do at Barnes & Noble or when you're sitting in the classroom or you're sitting at home?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Well, see, you know what? It's really good that you're not a painter. You're right, because then you would actually have to allot studio time.
It's true.
And when would you have time in your life? Like, that's probably why you're able to keep on making, because of your medium in a way.
I think so. And I think, you know, one thing that I've loved about the whole not focusing on the gallery and the show, which I, you know, maybe I want to do that again sometime. I don't know. It was a really great experience and a great opportunity, but I love being able to just draw. Like, I don't have to think of this bigger picture. Like, how is this going to fit into what I'm really doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, no, I'm actually really just filling sketchbooks, and I'm okay with that. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. And if I, you know, it's not about selling it. I mean, that's great. I'm a single mom. I could use that. But, you know, really, it's just so fun. You know, it's nice to have. Sometimes I'm just so grateful that I have it, you know, that it's like this outlet.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. I've been doing these little collages, and I'm not. People keep saying, you should show them. And which is so flattering, but I kind of don't want to, and I don't know why. And I think it's that. I think it's just that I'm really enjoying them and there's no pressure. I don't have to think about what they'd be like framed. I don't have to think about how they'd be received. It's just like, I like them. The end. Next.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're just one thing I love about, my sketch. Well, actually I worked with, do you know Layla Ali's work? You familiar with her at all? She's like arrived. She's a pretty amazing artist.
I saw that she was your mentor on your site. It said that.
Yeah, but, she was an amazing mentor.
But that's not like the boxer Layla Ali.
No.
I was like, hold on a second. When I saw that on your site, I was like, are you boxing now?
Yeah,
what's happening?
I'm super tough. You didn't know?
I didn't know.
No, but she told me, she's like, it's really interesting when I look in your sketchbooks, like there's a totally different feeling. And then I feel like when you put them on paper, it's like they get stage fright, you know, like you're putting them up and they're exposed. And it's, I think it's something I've never gotten over. Like so many of her words are still there, but I think that's a real truth. And so if they feel good in a book, you know, I can rip them out after, that's fine, but they feel good making them there. You know, it feels good to be able to close them and tuck them away and they don't,
maybe that's why the graphic novel will work. You never have to rip them out.
That's it. Yeah.
They're just all tucked in there.
Yeah, I think, and you know, the idea of a narrative is, you know, I mean, I think it's always like, it's always, you know, been there. And I've always been thinking like, you know, I'm always thinking about who they are and how they would interact and, you know, sort of poking fun at them and then really caring about them. You know, it's just this mix of, I don't know, I guess how we just relate to people in general, you know, and how we feel like they relate to us. But
well, they are. I remember the first ones I saw, even those ones that you ripped off from Camilla Engman.
way back when
they're so emotional, like they, all of your people just give you like the pieces that you had in the Bedford show, we had them hanging in a long row along one wall, and so many people, they would come around that corner and just be like, oh, like there's a strange sadness to them or something, or like a quiet, like they all just look so, especially the ones that aren't smiling, their gummy smiles.
Yes.
There's so much emotion in these really simple faces, and they give you chills. Like that's what I've always loved about your work. There's just so much emotion. That's why I thought, what if I have her on the podcast and she's like, I don't know.
She's this really dark, somber woman.
Tiny little face all down in one corner of her face. And she's like, well, I just draw stuff, so.
Well, I have a lot of teeth, I've been told. In grad school, everybody was always like, oh my gosh, you have so much teeth and you draw teeth, and it's so funny. But, I appreciate you saying that. I think, I don't think I'm ever going to get over, like, sort of human beings and their awkwardness and how awkward I feel. You know, I just, I'm never going to be out of there. I'm never going to not be interested. Like, I can't imagine anything more interesting other than like maybe seeing how frogs interact together, you know, on the edge of a swamp and like, you know, but putting things together and seeing how they interact. And
you actually said that in Creative Block.
I did. I love watching things and I love watching animals. Like, I love watching ants when you put, you know, little pieces of food. In fact, I shouldn't say this, but I had some ants in my classroom.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to kill them. I'm just not like that. I save everything. But I had dropped it, like, I eat rice cakes, and I had dropped a piece of rice cake, and they were just devouring it. They were coming from all sorts of places. I was just watching them. I never told anybody. I didn't want to tell anybody because I didn't want them to hurt them.
Oh.
They went away after. It was fine. But no, I love the watching of things, the observing. You know, even when you ask me, am I drawing people that I know or people that I observe? I think I observe so much, and I'm just constantly taking things in, and then that I process them, and that's what I do.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
That's so cool. Oh, I love that I get to talk to you. Okay, speed round.
Okay.
It's not usually very fast, but...
I feel like I'm on Jeopardy.
Yeah. If you get the answers wrong, our friendship is over. Okay.
Oh, no.
our brand new friendship. Okay. Chocolate or chips?
Chocolate.
Okay. There's one friend point gone.
No.
No, that's actually good because then I can have all the chips.
Absolutely.
And works you know out what? Perfectly.
Actually, being salty is very good.
It is. Have you ever had Pringles dipped in chocolate?
No, but that sounds amazing.
It's a thing. Apparently they're amazing.
Wow.
Anyway, city or country?
Oh, that's country. I grew up in the city, so yeah, country. I really like it.
You can watch all the frogs.
Yeah, I love walking in the woods. So amazing.
What is your favorite thing to teach your students? Either like a project that you love giving them or like a medium that you love?
Oh, definitely drawing. I love, you know what I love more than anything is them working in their sketchbooks. I really promote sketchbooks. I want them to, you know, keep evidence of their existence, you know, and
who
they
are. Do you give them assignments in their sketchbook or do you just say go? Like, do they have a chunk of time where it's just like, just go?
Some of it's just go, but a lot of times I'll give them assignments to, you know, to like draw the object that you would, you know, bring with you. No electronics, I say,
yeah,
first
yeah.
of all, that's what they'll choose.
Yeah.
But, you know, an object that's really important to you, like the thing that you would, you know, run and grab before you had to leave your house in an emergency. But, you know, draw a page full of your eyes, just look at yourself for a while and try, you know, all different approaches, you know, just trying to encourage them to look at themselves, think about themselves, you know, respond to things. I ask them to write in their sketchbooks a lot. And I'm really trying because I know that it'll be something that means something to them and it will just help them along.
Yeah, it's a time capsule too, you know, for when they're older and they look back at who they were at that age.
Yeah, I mean, I think what a gift, you know, I wish mm-hmm. I had done that. I mean, I do have drawings and things, but I didn't journal.
Yeah.
And I would love to like know my 14-year-old self, or maybe I wouldn't.
No,
would
probably.
You know?
I'd be horrified. Yeah, I would
totally.
Be horrified. I already know
yes.
that. And then do they ever get, I mean, I guess every kid is different, but do they get frozen by the white pages of the sketchbook or do they just kind of go for it?
Well, it's such a mixture of like, you know, we'll jot down notes in class or, you know, figure out a palette, you know,
right.
or. So it's like a mixture. So I think it seems kind of safe. And right away they make their sketchbooks and you know, we really try to get away from them being super precious.
Yeah.
So I think most of them are kind of, you know, we're just in them a lot. So they just get comfortable without yeah. even maybe thinking about it, you know, so much.
I did your unblocking project at a high school once and, you know, got them to like look at their eyes in
well,
a mirror
great.
and try and do it. And some, I'd say a quarter of the kids just went for it. And the whole page was covered in eyes and noses and mouths. And then they cut them out and made a collage from it. And it was really cool. A couple of the other kids that were the kids that were planning on going to art school, I'd go past and they'd have like one perfect eye.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, so that's good.
Bummer.
Let's, you know, like, let's flip the page and do 10 eyes. And they were just like, what? Like, how long do we have? And I was like, you got 10 more minutes. And they're just like, like it was
you,
just,
you can draw kids, but you can't see.
Yeah.
Let's focus on seeing.
Yeah. It was just, it was really interesting. It just broke my heart because you could just feel that anxiety in them. And it's like, it's just pictures of eyes. And if this thing goes nowhere, that's okay.
Right.
You
I know.
And it just broke my heart. Like, one girl even got like a bit teary-eyed by the end of it because she said, you know, she was putting her portfolio together. They were in 12th grade and they're putting their portfolio together to go to art school. And she was just second guessing everything.
Oh.
And, oh, so I ended up sitting with her for like the last hour and just sort of chatting with her about stuff. And I don't know if she actually heard anything. Probably not. I think she, at that point, had kind of made up her mind to be stuck.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I, at that point, I mean, I was only in there for the day. And so I talked to her teacher about it. She's actually a girl I went to high school with. I talked to her about it after and said, this is what she said, you know, and she's like, oh, I know. And I said, well, just keep an eye. Like, oh, I just wanted to be her teacher every day because I'm sure she
heard something, and I, you know, and she'll be fine. Cause I think sometimes we do just need to be stuck, and you know, and we just have to pull ourselves out of it and climb out of it. And I think, you know, some of that is just control. Like she, you know, you can do something and you can do it this certain way, but I'm not going to do it this other way. That's like really, you know, vulnerable and, you know.
Yeah. Like lose your people and collage people out of
magazines.
Like
lots
that's
of
scary.
Control. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
The whole control thing.
But, you know, that's when you do the best stuff. As soon as
when you lose it.
Yeah.
Yes. And when you've lost it and you just finally just, you know, succumb to the fact that you've lost it. You've just lost the control and then it all. Yeah. And those drawings or collages happen that just happen. It's amazing.
We're so lucky.
I
know. And so we're also very smart.
Yeah, I mean, brilliant, really.
See, this is what, thank God we've come back with all of this smart, wonderful conversation, considering I missed the whole first chunk that was so smart and wonderful.
Yes,
we've redeemed ourselves.
Changed their lives, but yeah. I think this will too. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Definitely. Everyone's lives are about to change. Okay, I have two more questions for you.
Okay.
Early morning or late night?
Early morning.
Do you work then, or do you just like drink coffee and
listen
to Anne
Marie? I'm going to be honest. I do late night, but early morning sounds really good. You know, I'm forced to as a teacher early morning. I like myself early morning, but I end up staying up late night and drawing. And darn. Yeah.
So that's why you don't sleep very much.
Yes, exactly. That's the highs and lows. That's what happens.
Because
I don't sleep, my highs are higher, my lows are lower.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we were talking about that I didn't get was that my dad
darn.
Yeah, I know that my dad would always say, you know, but with creative people, because my dad's a scientist, he would say that he'd envy me in the fact that he said, you know, your lows are really low, but he said your highs are higher than anything. And he said, you know, I'm jealous of those highs because they're so great, you know. And I always say, like, I don't mind the lows because, you know, lots of good stuff happens down there too, but the highs are just so exciting. So that's the benefit of being a creative person. Bipolar, yeah. That's why I said you and I need to get on a medication package together and we'd be all set.
Absolutely.
I'm Canadian. I can get it way cheaper. I'll just ship it down.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Now I'm going to ask you this last question. I'm going to see if you say the same thing that you said in the book, since you can't remember what's in the book.
I've grown since then a lot.
That's true. Well, if you weren't an artist, what would you be?
Ooh, I think it has changed. I think I said entomologist.
You
and
did.
I love insects. Yeah, I love insects. I think I would be a musician.
Ukulele.
I love music. I just started playing it like a couple years ago, and it is like a whole another world. And you know what's awesome about it is when I'm in a funk, an art funk, I can go play my ukulele. And then eventually I get in a ukulele funk and then I can go back to my drawing, you know? It's kind of nice.
It's a little ukulele pencil cycle.
Yes, totally. It works. It's great.
And then every now and then you stop and watch some ants eat a rice cake and then you're back on track.
It's really perfect. Honestly, talking to you, I'm like, my life is pretty good.
It's pretty good. Well, I was going to say what's next for you, but now I already know. Graphic novel, and I like that's gonna happen.
I'm saying it right now, so I'm gonna make it happen. Yeah,
yeah, I'm so excited to see that.
Thanks, me too. I can't wait to see what it will be like.
You know,
it's gonna be fun, and I want to see those collages at some point. But you know what? I totally understand the keeping them to yourself.
Yeah,
I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think for right now, that's where they need to be. I mean, I put them on Instagram every now and then, but like, they, you know, I don't know. Yep, they need to be mine for a little bit longer.
Absolutely. I think there's a period where you just, like, I'm not going to show anybody this graphic novel for a while. I let a friend have a sneak peek, But okay, so yeah, I say these things, but I probably will show everybody. Will I show everybody? No,
can
I
you
won't.
Show me? I just a tiny little email snippet.
Okay, I'll send you an email snippet. And you know what? I think I do that because it's brave. It's just, I don't know. I need to do it to. I don't know what it is. It's just all insecurity, I guess. And then I have to show it because I can't look at it objectively, you know, and
well,
I kind
and
of,
I
it's
think,
like holding your things up to a mirror, you know, do you ever do that?
Yeah.
Draw something?
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel like, oh, I want to really go see it in the mirror, you know?
I know. Actually, you know who does that? Camilla Engman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I knew that. I copied it from her.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. Was I just going to say something so profound? Look at it in a mirror. Oh, I think that part of that, you know, letting, like saying, oh, I'm not going to show anybody, and then you go and show somebody. I think you do that when you actually know it's good and you want somebody to agree with you.
Ooh, there's truth in that. Although I
do
have
that.
To say, yeah, I think that's typically true when you start to get the inkling that it might be something.
Yeah. Then you say, oh, I'm scared. But you're kind of not. Like, you're kind of ready to show someone, or you wouldn't.
It's true. Although I have to say, with the graphic novel thing, I think it's been such a, like, sort of private little, like, I don't know, and it's autobiographical, so it's, like, doubly, you know, kind of scary. And
are you afraid that who is in there will be upset that they're in there?
Oh, yeah, they would. I mean, you know what? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't really know how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
I think everybody's going to come out, you know, having people love them and be repulsed by them, like
right.
we all do. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, kind of healing for me. And I don't really know how it's going to play out because I'm remembering things. It's like a childhood, of course, you know that.
Yeah.
But I'm remembering things that are really fun, you know, too.
Yeah.
And funny and quirky. And so that part's nice too, to be reminded of nice things. So I don't think any of the characters will be all or nothing, bad or good. You know, I guess it just never happens that way. They're always just, you know, beautiful and repulsive.
Yeah. It's life.
It is really, really so beautifully repulsive. Yeah.
And maybe if they don't have chins, they won't recognize themselves.
That's it. That's
yeah.
what I do. Just to, yeah. Just
erase,
to...
erase, erase. Oh, yeah. Who could it be?
Yeah, I have no idea. Without your jawline? I mean, clearly not you. That's great.
This was so much fun. We should just do this every day.
It's super fun. I really enjoyed this. I was like nervous and I was, you know, glad to do it quickly. Like,
yeah.
you know, like within a couple of days because I didn't want to stew over it. But it's really easy to be real with you. You're awesome.
So are you. I loved every second of this.
Me too. So fun. Thank you so much.
Let's do a part two when you're done your graphic novel.
Sounds perfect. All right.
Okay.
I'll send you a snippet.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Take
okay.
care. Thanks
okay.
so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. I have never done that before. Hit record, Danielle. Oh my word. Well, thankfully I figured it out before it was too late because I loved every minute of that talk with my new soul sister. I already loved Eris's work so much, and now I love the smart, funny, insightful woman behind that work. Thanks so much to Eris for doing this with me. Thanks to Saatchi Art for supporting the episode. And thank you so much to you for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.